step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 460. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today by Nick Mayo.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming this puppy live at koop.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. You better not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. On the show today, we have St. Edward's University and their production of Violet. And then later on, we'll have the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards, otherwise known as GATSMTA. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, and Helsinki, Finland. Stick around. I feel it beating in my heart.
Me too.
I feel it beating in my lungs.
Me too.
I do feel a little bit in my lungs. Nick Mayo, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lisa Sheps, how are you?
I need to say that we are missing our Nicole Shiro. She had, she lost a family member. So our heart goes out to her. Rest in peace to her family member. I'm not quite sure who, but yeah. She's very, very tight with her family. So our love goes out to Nicole Shiro right now.
And Nicole just got back from Iceland, so we missed her last week, and we miss you this week.
We did, and we saw some of the pictures of Iceland, and then we saw pictures she actually texted me pictures of Morgan, our roving New York reporter, and she's like...
An adult.
She's an adult.
You know what I want to say to Nicole, though, about Iceland is, Iceland, baby, too cold.
Just like that. Iceland, baby, too cold. Which, interestingly enough, was my sorority name in college.
I know it was.
True that. So another wonderful International Folk Bazaar with Kim Simpson. And we've got a full house here today. So I'm just going to introduce everybody, shall I? And this will also be our opportunity to find out if the mics work. So as everybody knows, we just show how the... sausage is made here on Offstage and On the Air, so I did some reprogramming, and we're about to find out. So I'm going to start with Cassie Valentin.
Yes, Valentin.
Oh my gosh, Valentin. And that microphone works. We have David Long.
Yes, Lisa.
And that microphone works. We have Ian Stera.
Hello, hello.
That microphone works. Michelle Polgar.
Hello.
Ginger Morris.
Hi.
Get right up on that microphone, please.
Hi.
Yeah, it works. And last but not least, Mr. Adam Roberts.
It's been too long.
Yes, all the microphones work. How's that?
Winning.
So I want to say that song was from Carmen Jones, which I had never heard of before. It's an Oscar Hammerstein musical from 1943. David is nodding. Has anybody heard of it?
I know that song.
Of course, Adam knows it.
Adam knows it.
It was a musical in 1943 on Broadway, and it was a movie about in 1954, I think, starring Dorothy Dandridge, amongst others. And the reason why I play it, I had not heard of it, but it is, and of course I am not, it is having a, not a revival, it's off-Broadway, I need to see where it's being done, but with Annika Nanny Rose, which I always thought it was Annika Nanny Rose.
Annika.
Yeah, so I'm constantly mispronouncing her names. Anyway, she has not appeared on Broadway or musical theater since 2004 in Carolina
Change. I hate the bus.
That was her song in Caroline or
Thank you.
She was great. And then she played a frog in that princess.
She did, the princess and the like frog. Yeah. But she did a lot of non-musicals. She was in A Raisin in the Sun. She was Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Meow, meow.
Or
Gato en la...
Gato en la Rufa Caliente.
Not to be confused with The Glass Meninga Ray or A Streetcar Named Desiree.
Or Zuiloico de Cristal. Anyway, this was... Carmen is about Carmen.
Miss Jones.
It's based on Carmen. Carmen Jones. And an African-American cast set. Anyway, choreographed by Bill T. Jones.
Oh, Billy T.
Lyrics are by Oscar Hammerstein. The music, I don't really know this person, George Bizet.
Who?
George Bizet.
All right, George Bizet.
George Bizet.
George Bizet. Okay. Just very, I'm going to bring us down for a moment. I apologize. We lost one of our own this week, and it was a huge and tremendous loss. Dr. Billy Harden passed away yesterday, I think, or day before, and he will be a huge loss. He was the creative director of Spectrum Theater, and he's been around the Austin theater scene forever. And he will truly be missed. And Dave Stakely did a really wonderful post on the Facebook today, just sort of calling out everybody who he's going to be with in this theater company, in this guy, which I think was just beautiful. Funeral services are this Saturday at the AME Church at 11 a.m. Billy Harden, rest in peace. Or as so many people on Facebook said, rest in power, and I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And he was a powerful human being and a wonderful man. And he was always very gracious to me, and I was grateful to have known him. That's it. Okay. All right. Moving on to a little less heady subjects. We had an opening on Broadway this week. One Mean Girls. Written by somebody named Tina Fey.
It is. Yes.
Tina Fey. So I had never seen the movie, evidently, until less than a year ago. I had never seen it, and I Cassie's going, what? I hadn't, and I thought, okay, I think I may have seen it, but I just don't remember it. Then I rented it, and I went, no, never seen it. Not an ounce of it.
So fun.
Wonderful little movie.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Critics are a little split on whether it's a wonderful little Broadway play. Anybody else read notices?
I did. I thought that it got mixed to positive, mostly positive.
Oh, see, I read it as, well, it depends. Tina Fey got all positives. Mm-hmm. The music got pretty much all negatives.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It said, Ben Brantley said it's got a likable, it is a likable but seriously over-padded new show. It topped in
which
at
for him is a rave.
It topped in at 2.5 hours. The movie was 97 minutes. So evidently they're saying too much music and not good enough music. The songs are by Jeff Richman and Neil Benjamin.
Which could create a problem at home because the composer is also Tina Fey's husband. So
oh,
don't
I did
you
not
know
that.
There's a little bit of like, well, great for you. You take out the trash.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Choreography and direction by somebody named Casey Nicola.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Never.
Speaking of that, Book of Mormon, who is coming here in town, they've got a lottery. I think this is the first time Broadway across America has done a lottery here in Texas. So I don't know any information about it. You can use the Google to figure that out. But I didn't realize, and maybe all of you did because you're all such Mean Girls experts, It is based on a nonfiction book.
What?
Anybody?
No.
Yes, thank you. It's based
You're
on
not a real mean girl. I can attest to that.
Here you go. Here's my mean girl badge.
It's based on a nonfiction book about the perils of popularity by Rosalind Wiseman.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
never heard of
interesting.
It. Yeah, so that was new. Ben Brantley says, Miss Fey, meaning Tina, has one of the most appealing and satirical sensibilities on offer. But then anyone went on to say musical numbers are passable by middle of the road Broadway standards.
Whee!
Ooh.
Ouch. See, that's going to just contribute to that household argument.
Yeah. And then not he goes helpful. On to say a rap number for a party sequence is embarrassing, and not only because it's intended to be.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have things by other reviewers. Charles Isherwood, who I love, he says, does it make me a mean girl if I say that Mean Girls, the new Broadway musical based on, well, duh, is like TBH, just okay? Sorry, my mean, but that's kind of my job.
Interesting.
The other ones were more positive.
I've heard lots of different things, including that this is the best of the girl, the Power Sisters musicals.
Right, which is what actually Ben Brantley
talks about that.
Mm-hmm. Joe Domenowitz said, Mean Girls is this season's most likely to crowd please. And that's the only one I like, Mark Tree. There's a lot of positive reviews from the Hollywood Reporter to Variety, et cetera, et cetera. Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm. Get it.
That's it. Anybody want to see it?
I do.
I would.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sounds like fun. I mean...
I guess.
I'd do a matinee of Escape to Margaritaville, get a good on buzz on, and then go see an evening performance of Mean Girls.
I think you better go quick if you want to see Margaritaville. That's my feeling about
see it
that.
On a
I'm
Wednesday,
afraid
wear
to see
pink.
You're not that? Afraid. So here's another one that I think is really I like the idea of, and I think it's going to do well after rewrites, is the Sting musical. That's my Scott Joplin. Anyway, it's at the Paper Mill Playhouse. It was directed by John Rando, or Rondo. And it stars as Johnny Hooker. Well, first of all, Henry Gondoff is somebody named Harry Connick Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. No, yeah, okay. And J. Harrison Gee is playing Hooker. The, what's his name? What's his name? The actor who played him in the movie.
In the movie?
Yes.
This one's not
Robert Redford. God, dog it. This is what happens when you get to be my age. He's playing the Robert Redford role. And J. Harrison Gee, all of you will remember, has been a guest on this show.
Yay!
When he was here playing Lola in Kinky Boots. And they had to do some... They said the rewrite of writing Hooker as an African-American actually helped the storyline quite a bit, because it made him more of a likable character, more of a, I'm using quotes here, air quotes, victim, and it helped the writing of it. He said, who wrote this? Hold on. Who wrote this darn thing? It was written by Alexis Selesky. She says, J. Harrison Gee doesn't have Mr. Redford's one-of-a-kind sunshine, but he is as velvety and pleasing as felt on a new fedora.
Oh,
wow.
That's nice.
By the way, felt on a fedora?
Also your college sorority name. I remember.
Quite a nickel.
So Kate Schindel is also in this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Did somebody say who's that?
No, I didn't say who's that. I was about to go down a whole rabbit hole that made no sense to
me. Oh, I love rabbit holes.
Nope.
I do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You okay? Anyway, she says the songs are likable enough, never revelatory, and you can spot the rhymes from the next town over, which isn't that good. But I think the word on the street is it's going to do good, but it needs a little help. But
don't we all?
That's what out-of-town tryouts are
that's
for,
right.
Yes. So when I heard the Sting musical, I thought that was a good thing. Anybody else have an opinion?
I don't know enough about the movie to tell you the truth. I don't know the material. It's.
Have you not seen the movie, Nick?
I have not.
Nick
seen
is
the
very
movie.
Young.
Cassie's not seen the movie.
Nick is
nope.
very young.
Oh,
I haven't. Everybody else has seen the movie. Yes. Mm-hmm. Good. Good.
I mean, I could talk to you all about.
Ginger's going. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't. If I have, I don't remember it.
See the movie. It's wonderful. The writing is amazing. You are taken on a ride all the way through from the beginning to the end. And if they can do that on stage, it's a magical experience for the audience.
Yeah, I'll watch the movie.
Yeah.
IMO. In my opinion. That's what I'm just saying. Has anybody heard of this show called Hamilton?
Yes.
No. Yes. Has anybody seen it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course. I have not, because I'm not cool. It won 7 Oliviers. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Record-breaking Olivier. Olivier-Olivier-ness. who here has Laurence Olivier's autograph, other than me? Just wanted to make sure. I'm looking at the wrong piece of paper. But it won a bunch of Olivier's, and... So that is good. They also, the performance from the Oliviers is the opening number. So it's a whole different band of actors, and I saw it. It's still wonderful. It still gives me little goose pimples. And it is. There's a link to that performance on our website, offstageonair.com, once I post the show, and you can see it for yourself. Or you can just go to the YouTubes right now and say Hamilton Olivier's, which is what I would do.
I would do that too. Yeah. I'd actually go to our website and check things out.
I would do both. I would see it once without, and then once with, because it may be different.
Yeah.
I may have edited it.
I might cut and paste.
But it's a great performance, and the guy that plays Burr just looks wonderful. Everybody looks wonderful. It's so much fun. Speaking of Hamilton, did y'all read what it did to Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center ticketing issues?
It gave it shingles.
Should take that drug that drug company makes. No, it sent it into overdrive. They're taking a lot of criticism because, as everybody else did that has a subscription base, they told everybody to get a subscription. That's the only way you're going to get tickets to that. And then they offered tickets at a really high rate, and said that was the last. And then they opened up tickets to normal rates, and people stood in line. This one girl in the article had stood in line for 7 hours to get tickets, and they're just taking a lot of heat. And the reason why I mention it is I'm going to assume we're going to have a similar situation when it comes here next year. Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, nobody cares about Hamilton other than Cassie. Okay, anybody watch Mozart in the Jungle? This is not really theater news, but it's breaking my heart. Mozart in the Jungle, the Amazon series.
Don't.
Wonderful series. They canceled it along with a whole bunch of other stuff. And it just makes me mad. So I won't bore anybody else with it. Because I'm owning the microphone right now, I'm saying I'm angry.
And Lisa, you know what you can do with your anger? Rip it up.
I'm going to rip it up in a second. But check out this cast. Well, amongst other people, somebody named Bernadette Peters was in this. Mm. She's got some sort of... And the reason why they're doing it, they have a new program director that is moving to get rid of any kind of indie stuff and go more to get big budget projects in the realm of Game of Thrones. I know, sort of upsets me. They also, and I learned here while reading this article, another one of my favorites that I just thought was awesome, which was Good Girls Revolt, which is about the newspaper industry and women trying to break into it, canceled. So
Rip it up. Rip it up.
I'm doing it again.
Do it a double rip.
That's it. All right. Speaking of
degrading.
No, not degrading. Anyway, there's an article about the Alley Theater, and James Black, who's the interim artistic director there, gave his first full-blown interview since the whole Gregory Boyd incident and what he's going to do and what he's going to do. And it's very, very interesting. And so he says, I don't want the job. He said, I will do this 9 months. And he said, we need youth. We need someone young. We need someone probably not white and male. He specifically says female, but I'm going to throw it out and I'm going to cast a little wider net for him. And they need to really work harder to have a more diverse company. And it was interesting. One of their people that worked there from 2008 to 2011 tweeted or did something on some social media, just said that during her tenure there, the company produced 34 plays. Of those, 4 were directed by women. 0 were directed by people of color. And 7 were written by women. 3 of those 7 was Agatha Christie.
Interesting.
So that's, and that they're just talking about what kind of legacy Gregory Boyd left, and it's good and bad. I mean, he made a powerhouse of a theater, but seems to be a kind of a sexist, if you're reading between the lines.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting article, and I would encourage folks to go to our website, Offstage On Air, and read it. The Alley Theater's season, thank you, includes The Humans, and Dominique Marceau's The Skeleton Crew, along with favorites like Twelfth Night, Christmas Carol, and Agatha Christie's Mousetrap. But he's sort of saying that this
it
is sort of
a... really go along with what they...
Well, it's I mean, he's what they're trying to what he's trying to say is we don't have an artistic director right now, and we're going to put this together to
boo!
So the humans, of course, works at white middle class people, and the skeleton crew is working class people of color. So he's trying to mix it up a little bit, although I don't know where Christmas Carol and Mousetrap and Twelfth Night come from, but I mean, it's an interesting article. And I wish the Alley Theater only the best. They also are going to commit, and this sort of ties into what we deal with here in Austin a little bit with the Alley Wannabe, which is at the Zach. I know that was terrible, awful, but there you go. But we give it. Zach takes heat for not using enough local people, bringing a lot of people from out of town, and that's exactly what the Alley did. And he said his commitment for his interim is to build the company. They haven't announced this season's company, but they're going to really try to work with more Houston locals in key positions. So I think that's good.
I think that's a great thing to do. Nurture your talent in your community.
I liked this so much, I printed this out twice.
Wow.
So let's talk about it again. Harry Potter broke all the records.
It's pronounced
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Is it the Chamber of Secrets?
I don't know.
I don't know what they're called. But it broke all records for a straight play for money by, I forgot what they made. I have the number here somewhere. But interesting, the play before that was Bryan Cranston and...
All the Way.
And which I found interesting that a straight play hadn't broken that. I think...
it hadn't broken bad that.
that was funny.
I'm just sorry. Sorry about me.
So Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is what it's called. $2.4 million last week. All the Way grossed $1.62 million in 2014. Interestingly, the All the Way was in a smaller house. The Harry Potter is in the... The Lyric Theater, which used to have 1,900 seats, now has just over 1,600 seats. All the Way was at the Neil Simon, which had 1,400 seats. I just think it's interesting. They talk about top ticket price and so on. And here's an interesting thing about what Harry Potter's doing. Let me see if I can find it. They've got... they've been selling... I'll just read this. They've been selling 300 seats per performance for $40 or less. And 150 of those seats selling for $20 or less. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that.
That's affordable. And I'm a college student.
Me too. Finally, I don't know why I ripped that up.
Wow. You were not angry at that. Lisa, put it back together. Put it back together. Thank you.
Okay. Here, backwards ripping. That's backwards ripping. We'll fix that in post. So those of you that are listening to this on the podcast will hear that backwards. As a matter of fact, you're going to hear everything I say right now backwards. There you go. One last thing that I thought was interesting. Pippin was sort of in works for a movie make, a movie creation, a movie something or other, along with In the Heights, but it was part of the Weinstein group. And In the Heights was able to pull itself out of the Weinstein bankruptcy so that they're still good
because
to do it.
Because Lin-Manuel Miranda is magic.
He is magic. But Pippin did the same thing.
Because there's magic to do there.
Just for you.
Gosh, oh, guys, sorry, bad. Sorry, sorry.
So what I thought was interesting, Jerry Marshall was him to direct the movie version of Pippin. And he didn't, he said making nine with Weinstein was so problematic that he did not want to, he just didn't want to go through this again. So now that Weinstein's not in the mix, there might be more of a chance that Marshall will do Pippin. Because there is magic to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's on the right track.
I get it.
Anybody?
I liked it. I thought that their experience on Nine was just like a little bit of an unusual way. Gosh, I hate it. I hate the way my brain is working today.
Well, because you are trying to be Italian. All right, we're going to take a little break and come back and talk to St. Edward's University, the entire university. Wow. And in the meantime, I'm going to play a little bit of that. I'm going to tease that Hamilton piece so people will go and click Offstage On Air.
They need help. Mm-hmm.
And listen to this. Ready? And go. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Mr. Nick Mayo. We have been talking to loads of people. We are going to switch gears and speak to just the folks at St. Edward's for just a little while. I'm going to reintroduce everybody. And I'm going to have Nick Mayo switch hats right now. So go ahead and do that. Okay. I'd like to introduce Nick Mayo. He's the director of Violet at
Hello.
St. Ed's.
Hello.
And we have the artistic director, David Long.
Yes, hello.
The producing, the major, the production, what
managing
is it?
Managing director.
Managing director, I'm sorry. Managing director, Michelle Bolgar.
Howdy.
We have the scenic designer, Ian Stara.
Hello.
We have the star, the young woman playing Violet, Cassie Valentine.
Valentine, yes.
I keep wanting to say Valentine, I guess everybody. And then we also have another... member of the company here, David Long.
Yes.
Also wearing two hats.
Two hats.
Can I throw your mind for a little bit of a pew? And we also have our vocal coach, Adam Roberts.
Oh, I did not know. We also have vocal coach Adam Roberts. He's got two hats
double
too.
Dude.
How did
today.
I not know that? And we have Muse Ginger Morris.
Always Muse Ginger Morris.
All right. So who wants to lay down? Nick, tell us what the show is all about, Violet. I'm assuming it's about purple.
It is all about purple or lavender or shades. No. Violet is based off of a short story by Doris Betts about a young woman in Civil Rights South taking a journey across the country to meet a tele-evangelical preacher who will, in her mind, heal her scar, her actual scar that was across her face. On her journey through the South, we track our way musically through bluegrass in North Carolina to rock and roll and more Beale Street blues in Memphis. Janine Tesori guides us through this musical journey through the South. And along the way, as music changes, so does Violet, so do the people around her. She's confronted with parts of the world and herself that she's never seen before as she and all the others take a pilgrimage to self-realization, to communal realization. It's a beautiful score by Janine Tesori and an amazing piece to do with young actors.
And the book and lyrics are by Brian Crawley.
Yes.
And was just on Broadway about 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Five. Yes.
Well, that's awesome. And Cassie, you play Violet, the titular character.
Yeah.
Tell us how that is.
I really love it. She's from a small town, and I'm from a small town, and I just really relate to her. Also, like, she deals with the fact of, like, scars, and on stage, not going to ruin anything or spoil anything, but they
don't ruin anything.
So scars and where they are, whether they're physical or, like, emotional and stuff like that. So that's something beautiful to work with, and also the cast is just amazing. Wonderful people.
And you are, what year at St. Ed's are you in?
I'm a senior. I graduate this year.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, that's great. What a great sort of swan song. Hopefully not the swan song because there's... Wait, is the semester almost over?
Semester's almost over.
Yeah, so swan song.
No, this is
to loft your career.
Just
that's
her beginning.
That's awesome. And David, did you choose this piece for the season?
Yeah, I programmed this thing. So a dear friend of mine, Bob Westenberg, who was actually in the original cast recording in 97, mm-hmm. Is a friend of mine. And I was up there in Missouri where he teaches doing a master class, and he turned me on to this. And I thought it would be great for our space. I think it's a great journey play, has a lot to say. And so I thought it fit in very nicely with the season. We've had a pretty incredible season this season. And yeah. So I thought this would be a nice way to cap it off.
Well, you always do. I'm going to take a quick little U-turn here. Not a U-turn.
You're going to get off the bus for a second.
I'm going to get off the bus. I'm going to get off the bus here in Memphis on Beale Street. Listen to some music. Yeah. And Michelle, I asked you to give us a number between 2 and 54. What did you say?
3.
Three. Let's see what 3 is.
Hi, I'm Lucy Arnaz, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP
Hornsby Austin.
Lucy Arnaz.
Lucy Arnaz.
That's great. I love Lucy.
Thank
you, everybody. So, so I want to talk, actually, so this is being done in the round.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I saw it in New York, and it was a proscenium.
Right.
So what are the challenges from a directorial standpoint and from a design standpoint about doing this particular piece in the round?
Well, it's so funny, because the challenges are... for me as a director, solved by working with designers like Ia and Catherine Eder, who helped me tell this story in such a beautiful way. So the challenge has actually become my benefit when I'm working with designers like the two of them, where I can make the challenge overall in this is to make sure that everyone's having a similar experience. And that's also an impossible thing to do, right? So you kind of give over to the space. It's one of my favorite spaces to work mm-hmm. in, because you have to give up control. And as a director, that's strangely freeing.
It is.
Because we like to sit in a place of, ooh, I want this to look this way, and I want it to look that on this thing. And then at a certain point you go, but I can't control all those things. So why don't I let the work live in this space and really have a 360 experience? And it, for me, kind of calms me. It calms me even more working with people like Ia and Catherine and Leela Stewart, our props designer, and Peter Chupnitsky, our music director, who make this, transform the space so beautifully. And I'll let Ia talk a little bit about the set design. I think this is one of my favorite set designs I've seen in the Mary Moody. Ia is super talented and has transformed us into four different bus stations in one space. So Ia, talk a little bit about what that's been like for you.
I am blushing on air.
Which was, oddly enough, the original name of this show.
Yeah. And your sorority.
Tip that microphone up towards your mouth. Thank you.
Yes, I'm a little bit taller than the microphone. What I was going to say is I'm actually very glad that I never saw this show in proscenium, especially because I cannot see the show in a proscenium. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very cyclical show, and not to give away anything, but it's almost like we don't really go anywhere. We go everywhere, but we don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I cannot imagine doing this in a proscenium, nor, in all honesty, with anybody else but this crew.
Mm-hmm.
So, because... never having seen the show, never having heard the show, it was not my favorite to begin with, just from the first reading.
Mm-hmm.
Second reading, fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
Third one, absolutely magic.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautifully written show. I'll let Adam talk a little bit about the music. Like I don't think Austin audiences are accustomed to this kind of musicality within a musical. Janine's work is so intense. So, I mean, Adam...
And I think if she works hard enough, she may get somewhere.
She may get somewhere.
Well, for folks who don't know what else she has done, she also was the composer for Fun Home. And Violet, I believe, was her first full written musical. She was a musical director prior to that and decided she wanted to go into writing and sort of went to a lighthouse in Maine and wrote Violet.
Mm-hmm.
And Violet is what we would call musically a pastiche musical. So lots of different styles that happen and that drive the narrative and the story. One of the really great things about this particular company of students and of guest professionals is that they are able to really execute the score to such a high degree. The sound of the vocalists is just absolutely incredible. I got to come in during the beginning of the process, and then Peter Stepchinski has continued on doing the musical direction. So I'm actually really looking forward to hearing it all come together in performance. But it's been a real joy to introduce young students to these styles and very intricate, difficult, challenging music that they have really taken on as their own and made happen.
Cool. And Michelle, as managing director, have you had an active role in this particular production?
Yes, she has. She won't say she has, but she has.
I'm like, no.
I heard cats a little bit, and I'm there for moral support, mostly.
When you said you heard cats, I thought you said you heard cats.
No.
Or hurt cats.
No.
Cassie, I'm interested from your perspective. Like, what is coming into this piece? You didn't know any of it. You found that this was on the season, and then I know that you were quite
I listened
interested.
To it the day that they announced the season, and right as I listened to it every single day of the summer and just fell in love with each song even more. And it's one that, like, it really hits you in spots. Like you're like, whoa, that's really tender. I didn't know. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's something you put in your headphones and it just takes you away into a different world.
And this is something that's pretty easy for the audience to see in that it's relatively short with no intermission, correct?
Mm-hmm. Bless.
That's bless. She never leaves the stage.
And you are opening pretty soon, are you not?
Day after tomorrow.
Oh, on the 13th?
No, I meant tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right, on the show.
Hi, sorry. Hey, it's tomorrow.
Somebody give Nick a fan.
And so tonight would be dress rehearsal, one might assume.
Yeah. One might.
And when do you close?
We run from tomorrow, which is the 12th, through the 22nd at the Mary Moody Northern Theater. Awesome. On St. Edward's
University. Where can folks campus. Get more information?
Michelle?
www.stedwards.edu/theater, and you can spell it any way you want.
Oh, look at you. Good. That's excellent. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. I hope some of you, I know that Nick's going to have to run away.
I do.
We're going to lose him, but I hope maybe a few of you can stick around, join us backstage. If not, we'll see you next time you're on and break a leg. And Cassie, break a leg in everything. Break a leg in the show and break a leg in your endeavors after you graduate.
Thank you.
Great. Awesome. So that was Nick Mayo, Michelle Polgar, David Long, Cassie Valentin, Ia Enstera, and Adam Roberts, all of St. Edward's University production of Violet at the Mary Moody Northern Theater from the 12th, which is tomorrow, through the 22nd. For more information, stedwards.edu/theater. Spell it any way you like. Promise me back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Mayo.
Hootie hoo!
We've been talking to... I'm just going to go through the list again. We were talking to Michelle Polgar, David Long, Cassie Valentin, Ia Enstera, and Adam Roberts, and Muse Ginger Morris.
And Muse Ginger Morris.
And Lisa Sheps, because why not?
Muse. That's right.
Amusing. Anyway, so let's just quickly go through. And I just realized that I did not print out the things I wanted to print out. But the School for the Deaf is doing Noises Off this weekend.
Brian Cheslick, director.
And Brian Cheslick is the director. And I'm just really interested in seeing that. And I didn't print it out, but I believe if you were to go to a search engine and type in Austin School for the Deaf, Noises Off, you will get as much information as you want. Mm-hmm. What an incredible show to do in ASL.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you've ever, has anybody, I bet you Adam has anybody else been to a School for the Deaf show and what they do?
I have not been to one there.
So for a hearing audience, it's like dubbed. There are people speaking the roles, so you are not lost if you are hearing, and it's really wonderful and beautiful to see.
That faculty is incredible. They do such great work with educational theater, and they really do,
and they're really great community members. Yeah. So it's would be something I'm hoping to get to see, although that may be tough with my schedule, because coming up next week is the Fusebox Festival. Which is happening all over town. Mm-hmm. I know it's happening at the Rollins at the Long Center. It's happening at Ground Floor Theater. It's happening at the Museum of Human Achievement. It's some 15 venues around the city. And this is a arts festival that they bring people in from all over the world. And it's pretty incredible. I went to a meeting last night to talk about it because, you know, three of the acts are in our venue. And in our case, it's all dance. But it runs the gamut from visual arts to performing arts to beer drinking.
Yeah. I mean, you're only halfway kidding.
They have every year that it's called The Hub, which is a building where everybody goes. And there's lots of stuff happening there. And The Hub is at 4th Street and near Kamal. I don't know exactly where it is. But you can get information, fuseboxfestival.org, and get more information there.
And if you're fuseboxed out, there are two other things next week that I've got my eye on. The Texas Cultural Trust has the Texas Young Masters Program on Monday at Zach Theater, which will feature performances by Conspirare, Dallas Black Dance Theater, and a closing act of Joe Ely.
Oh,
so for more information and to support scholarships for the arts in Texas and the Texas Cultural Trust, you can go to texasculturaltrust.org. And also Conspirare, speaking of Conspirare, is having their yearly Hidden Music, which is a wonderful way to support a Grammy Award-winning local Austin arts company. And more information, you could go to conspirare.org.
We love Conspirare. All right. Today in theater history.
Today in theater
today
history.
Today in theater history.
Today in theater
history.
There you go. That was the ending
You're
I
welcome.
Wanted. Way back in 1914. You remember this, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
It was your bar mitzvah year.
1914. Yes. It was.
Mrs. Patrick Campbell and Herbert Beerbohm Tree. Herbert Beerbohm Tree are the very first Eliza Doolittle and Professor Higgins in Pygmalion. It played at His Majesty's Theatre in London for 118 performances. Then in 1932, coming back on the other side of the pond, is the birthday of somebody by the name of Joel Grey. Did he die?
No.
Oh,
no.
God.
No, it was that was the, no, it was the wrong sounding O.
That was a sigh of nostalgia.
So he's really well known on Broadway for playing George M. Amongst other things, he was also the original MC in Cabaret, both on stage and in the movie. And I saw him in Wicked.
Yeah.
He was the original Wizard O' Oz, which is what they originally called it. 1936, this was the opening for On Your Toes at the Imperial Theater. It does. It hurts a lot. Choreographed by Georgia Balanchine, which I just realized his pronunciation is just like Cassie's, so I should have just used that. Ray Bolger was amongst the actors in that one. And then in 1991, we're skipping all the way to the opening of Miss Saigon.
Oh, Ginger.
Oh, Jinx.
Ginger,
Jinx.
And I share that. Oh, wow.
Okay. Wait, hold on, Ginger.
Oh,
for some reason, your microphone's
Ginger Technical.
On. That was the first Broadway in 91?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I guess maybe 92.
Because this was, this fostered in, or was the second show of the big, huge
mega musicals.
Things. Yeah, so you had Phantom with the chandelier, and then Saigon with the helicopter.
And Heart and Goodness.
Mm-hmm. And Heart and Goodness.
Heart and Goodness.
And a beautiful revival.
And recently.
It's did you see it? We just saw the revival.
Beautiful revival.
Beautiful revival.
It was gorgeous.
It did not get good notices. Did
they
it?
They were blind. They didn't see it. They don't know.
So I've never seen Miss Saigon. My
Ginger
only
and I could
experience.
Do it for you in the
yeah,
parking
we,
lot.
We could
yeah.
do it.
The only experience I have is when I saw the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards in the first year, when they indeed had a helicopter.
We did. We flew a helicopter.
Student built
and designed.
An SBH, as we call that in the business.
An SBH.
Yes, student built helicopter. Okay, moving on. Let's see. So this is the opening of the Mother Blinker with a Hat, Chris Rock, which did really, really well. It also had Bobby Cannavale, Elizabeth Rodriguez, and some other folks. This was also the opening the next year of Magic Bird, which is a thing about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. And then, of course, the next year was, and I'm sorry that Miss Nicole Shiro wasn't here to join in the love of this, because she loved her Matilda the Musical, the Roald Dahl children's book, which starred her wonderful person, Millie Shapiro, who she loved as one of the four Matildas. And of course, she also loved Bertie Carvel, who played Mrs. Trunchbull, and then Leslie Margarita is in it as one of the Wormwoods, and that was that. And then I'm just going to stop. Well, birthdays, I find this sort of interesting. Louise Lasser in 1939.
Yeah.
Do you remember her TV show?
No.
Mary Hartman. Anyway, it's wonderful. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to a little bit of Matilda. I'm sorry, Nicole won't be here to hear this. She'll just have to listen to it on iTunes. We'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps. And only Lisa Sheps. Everybody else is left except for the best people in the world. We have Adam Roberts and Ginger Morris here with us.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my God. We went from like a really crowded room to just the three of us.
I know.
I like to say the three best people.
Well, we're not going to argue.
I'm all about that.
So I feel like I did not have you guys on last year for the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards. But you are here for the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards. And I should say, probably you might disagree with me, but the two of you, Ginger definitely drives the whole thing, but the two of you make a great team and sort of work side by side throughout the whole thing.
That is very true.
Oh, sure.
Tell folks about the program.
All right. Well, we are in our fifth year. We started in 2014, and it's basically Tony Awards for high school musicals. So we have a team of adjudicators, very carefully chosen, lovely, wonderful, supportive people.
Excellent people all around.
Excellent people. And so schools in the greater Austin area, so it's Travis County and the six contiguous counties, can participate. And they just do the musical that they would normally do. And we send adjudicators out to see the musical. And then they evaluate and score several categories. And then we do a final ceremony, which is coming up next Wednesday, where we do several performances throughout the evening. It really is sort of like our local Tony Awards. So there's a big opening number with students from all of the different participating schools who audition to be a part of it. And all of the lead nominees, supporting, featured, and then the eight schools nominated for Best Production do a number as well.
Before we get into the actual production, I just want to get a little historical perspective. So yeah. this is your fifth year.
Yes.
And how many schools competed the first year versus how many schools competed this year?
So we had 19 schools our first year, and we have 38 this year.
Exactly.
My God.
Doubled.
So, and you took my line. Mm-hmm.
Good math. Good math. Good.
So that's that is pretty incredible, and that is a huge job. Mm-hmm. So let's. And I'm sorry I cut you off, Adam. Were you about to talk about a little bit of the production, the show itself?
I was just going to say that by the end of the night, there will be upwards of 500 kids having been on that Long Center Del Hall stage. You know, which is one of the largest stages on which one would perform in a typical career. So that is very exciting that we get to give them this
very
opportunity.
Exciting. And not only that, a full house of what, 1,600?
Yes.
How many?
20, between 2,400 and 2,500.
Yeah, so over 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. What a thrill for these kids. And so let's talk about the show itself, because it's not a typical awards show. In that there is original programming specifically for this show.
Yes. So the opening and the closing numbers were actually written by Alan Robertson.
Heard of him?
Yeah, yeah.
Who hasn't?
And that's right. He, our very first year, we talked, you know, Adam and Alan and I talked about what we, what, you know, sort of original things that we wanted that would make this special and special to Austin. And some of those things were the opening and the closing number, and then the select ensemble, which are those students who rehearse throughout the year and open the show and do a big medley at the end of Act One, is something that is specific to our awards.
And you've been working a long time already on that.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, really, the work for the next year begins before the, you know, awards happen in any given year.
Yeah.
So it is. But we rehearse, we audition the select ensemble typically at the beginning of the school year. So somewhere around September. And then they also serve as ambassadors for the Long Center's educational programming throughout the year at fundraisers and events and other things.
And the select ensemble may or may not be nominees themselves.
That's
right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not bearing. But the what I love about this and other of these of the high school music awards, specifically the Jimmys, does this as well, where they do this. You do a wonderful medley with all the best actor and actresses nominations.
Yes.
Tell folks about that.
So then there are 9 nominees in the category of lead actor and 9 in the category of lead actress. And so we do a medley that Adam actually arranges these medleys. And it's just a snippet, like about a minute, of a number from their show, and then the rest of them become the, you know, backup for each other's. And so they're all wearing their costumes from their individual show and doing this medley of numbers together, singing and dancing together. And I know a lot, it's a lot of people's favorite part, and it is very, it's hilarious and it's fun and exciting. It also is an incredible opportunity for those students to bond together. You know, one of the things when we started this, when I was first asked to start a competition for musical theater, I was skeptical because I wanted to make sure that our focus was on, you know, building community and uniting young people in their passion for art, as opposed to creating an experience that was divisive. And so this is one of those special moments where they work together for so long to get this medley, so that even though one of them is announced as the, you know, winner at the end, they are all so hugely supportive of each other. And by the time they're doing that and the winner is called, they have such love and joy for each other that they don't really care who it is that gets called.
Yeah, it's one of the more moving parts. And Adam, do you do the arranging between the songs? Do you put those things together?
Yeah. Oh, of the medleys, yes.
Yeah, so that's actually got to be sort of fun and challenging all at the same time. Because not every song is going to match up with every song.
That's
And you have a specific, you have 8 or 9
iconic
songs.
Numbers typically from those characters.
Yeah. And you have got to put them together logically and make it work.
That's right. But it's not just me on that music team, because this is, I think one of the things when I'm talking to friends, either within or outside of the theater industry, as soon as you mentioned sort of high school students, they don't necessarily understand the true scope of what this production is. I mean, it is a big, big production. And so we have a whole music department that works on this, including Alan Robertson, including Dustin Struhall and some interns who all make all of this happen, you know, a full professional 13-piece pit orchestra. And so all of that, so it's not just me, it's the creative collaboration of so many musical minds that come together. And I would just say quickly, to piggyback on something Ginger said that I think is so cool about the whole experience, is, you know, we'll often go to see many of these high school musicals as they're being performed throughout the year. And one of the best thing for me is to have seen throughout these 4 years, performance, the kids from each other's schools attending other schools' musicals. Yeah. You know, the first year you didn't see so much of that. And now so much of the audience is comprised of students from other high schools seeing each of the musicals. And I mean, what more could you ask for in terms of developing support for the arts?
And this year, even one of the schools that is 40 minutes, whatever, outside of Central Austin, did sort of a Gatsmata night of their show and offered $5 tickets to any students who were Gatsmata participants. And so they had, I don't know, I think 100 kids from all over came to see their show, which is great that they're all, you know, wanting to support each other and wanting to enjoy each other's work.
Right. Well, we're almost out of time, but now the show that's happening a week from tonight is open to the public, is it not?
It is, although, yes, it is.
Tickets may not be available.
It's sold out.
Okay, so, but they could go get information and learn
absolutely,
about it. But
absolutely.
That is incredible that you have a full house for Wednesday night. And that goes back to what an incredible feeling and an incredible experience for those kids. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean,
and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. It is 100%.
You also have a great, tell us who the MC is, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye.
We're very excited. Our host this year is Tyler Mount, who actually coincidentally went to St. Edward's University and was part of one of our education programs, Summer Stock Austin, for 2 years. So performed in the Rollins Theater at the Long Center and is now employed by Playbill.com. And he is their sort of social media video
bigwig.
What is that?
Big wig.
He does the Playbill.com red carpet interviews for the Tony Awards and interviews the Broadway stars.
So one of our own that made it big.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, great. This show is on Wednesday night at what time?
7:30.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much
thank
for coming
you, Lisa.
On the show again.
Lisa.
We love having you here.
Same here.
Awesome. That was Ginger Morris and Adam Roberts of the Long Center. We didn't mention it's also sponsored by University of Texas and Zach Theater, the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards at the Long Center in Dell Hall a week from tonight, April 18th at 7:30. For more information, longcenter.org.
It's a musical.
Okay, I am back. It's just me alone. It's Lisa Sheps back with Offstage and On the Air. We just got finished talking to Ginger Morris and Mr. Adam Roberts. And now we're just going to stand by for Austin Monitor News. And they are coming up next. And I'm not sure whether we'll be going backstage or not, but we'll find out. If you're listening on the podcast, just stick around. If we're still here, we're still here. Get information for us at offstageonair.com. Plus, see a link to that wonderful Hamilton opening at the Olivier's. So, Nicole, Nick, and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on there. And this is just rest in peace. Bill. The curtain has come down on Trio, the musical, the story of three good friends working together to try to make harmonic music. Two of them do a very good job. One of them just sucks, which was her sorority name in college. Uh-huh. Okay, that's it. So we're here backstage. We've left the show. We are here. We've gone down the stairs. We're standing next to the dumpsters. Our feet are dangling in puddles of unnamed liquid, mm-hmm. but we're here, good friends all. We are joined by Ginger Morris.
Hello.
And Adam Roberts.
Hey.
And hey, how cool is it? I don't need notes to talk to you guys because I know your names already.
That's right.
Actually, those are usually the ones I screw up.
We go.
Oh. Well, you guys are veterans to backstage, so you've mm-hmm. been back here before.
Yes.
So what's new? Do y'all have it? What are your passions outside of theater? Do we have passions outside of theater?
Uh-oh.
I know.
Oh, man.
Crickets.
You like crickets?
I do, yeah.
When I have time, I do like movies and TV. I just don't.
I make time for television.
Do you?
Yeah, late at night, I'll sit and binge. Do you have any TV favorites?
Gosh, well, right now is the rough time in my life for TV, so
you can't see anything,
now
yeah.
Yeah, but... back in the day, I like Newsroom.
Yeah, oh my God. That was back in the day. Wonderful show.
But one of my favorites of all time.
Well, Allison Pill, who is in that show, is just on Broadway right now.
In what?
She is in Three Tall Women.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Along with, Glenda Jackson and... she just about won that. She was up for a Oscar for Lady Bird.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, and I don't know her name.
Oh!
I'm sorry,
okay.
But I do know you're talking about.
The older one, not the mother, not the daughter, who's very famous.
Very
and I
famous.
Know her.
Yes. This is an embarrassment,
I'll come up with it. And Allison Pill was also in American Horror Story.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I did two seasons of that, and then I had to move on to other things in my
life. They're all very different. Well, you have to have your priorities. both of you make your living in this world of this business of show.
Uh-huh.
Were y'all headed in different directions ever?
Sure. Yeah, I was definitely, I'll answer the question about another passion, which for me is sacred music, musical director at St. Luke United Methodist, but then also do a lot of work with the Jewish community. So that is a passion.
Is sacred music, mm-hmm. Is that a specific genre versus religious music or is there...
No, I would say that's all one in the same.
So are you learning about Jewish Ashkenazic music?
Oh heck yeah! Well, and so much of Broadway came from
true
temple songs, mm-hmm. right? So there's actually a great book called Funny It Doesn't Sound Jewish, and it's about the Broadway sort of sound that came out of temples and really amazing stuff.
Sure, and they're doing Fiddle on the Roof in Yiddish.
Are they real?
Yes.
What? Where?
I did not know
New York.
That.
One of the, I believe, the last remaining, or there may not be any remaining, of one of the downtown Lower East Side
Second
Yiddish theaters.
Avenue. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Adam, amazing. You got to go. We have to go.
I am definitely going to go, so
let's
we can make
go.
A field trip.
That's right.
I cannot miss that.
No. Phenomenal.
But that is interesting. And speaking of that genre mm-hmm. of music, and mm-hmm. And I think most people are more familiar with the Ashkenazic klezmer kind
sure.
of, but the Sephardic, which were the people mm-hmm. in Europe, the Jews from Spain, have a whole nother style.
They have
of music.
A whole other style that you would just swear was straight out of, like, you know, either Spain or South America. Just incredible guitar, flamenco sounding, sort of, you know, just really Ladino, incredible stuff.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with it. I don't mm-hmm. think most people are, but mm-hmm. they do have a whole. Mm-hmm. Rich history
yes.
and musical genre unto themselves.
Yeah.
So cool. So Ginger, what path were you leading that did not lead you to theater? You're in education, weren't you? Were you always in theater education?
I grew up, obviously, I grew up in McAllen. So
obviously?
Not obviously. Very not obviously. I grew up, though, obviously doing theater.
Wait, you were in McAllen. Were you in the world in 1974?
Just not quite.
Not quite.
Not quite.
Darn it.
76.
Because I
you
toured McAllen.
There. Yes.
I was hoping you might have seen me. I was hoping you were a kid.
Know.
I'm too damn old for my
life. Would have been such a great coincidence.
Yeah. So you grew up in McAllen.
Yeah. And I did theater. I did theater at a community theater there and at my school. And I knew that I wanted to continue to do theater. I just didn't know what or how. I think I probably was mostly interested in directing. And I, you know, again, growing up in a small town that doesn't have much theater, I didn't know how any of that really worked or functioned outside of our little bubble. And so I ended up going to UT just because my family all went to UT. And,
you know, that's exactly the reason why I did not go to UT.
Yeah, well...
my whole family went. I said, nope, North Texas State for me.
Anywhere else, yeah. So, yeah, I went to UT and I studied theater and I didn't know even then what I really wanted to do. And I ended up just sort of meeting some people who started a theater company and they were looking for a stage manager and I didn't even know what that meant. And I said, yeah, I'll do that.
After your education at UT?
In the middle.
Okay, well, still, shame on UT.
Yeah, no, it was definitely in the middle and I didn't, I just was... I was excited to do something that felt like whatever I thought real theater was. And so I ended up jumping into stage management. I got my equity card as a stage manager, and that was sort of my first.
Tell us about that. What was your – what did you do? What got you your equity card? Can you say?
I was doing shows at the Paramount with Austin Musical Theater.
Oh,
and
okay. That's
so
right.
I was actually assistant stage managing with mostly Bill Sheffield,
uh-huh.
Who now is the production manager at the ballet.
Right.
And so he sort of taught me everything I knew. And
so you got your equity card right here in Austin, Texas.
I did.
That's so
I
cool.
did. I think on the show Oliver. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
May
and
I have some more?
Please. It was exciting. Stage managing, the thing that was great about stage managing is that is an opportunity to truly understand all of the parts and the pieces that
Absolutely.
Make something, that make theater happen. And I don't know if there's another, position that offers you that sort of breadth of experience within the art. And it definitely helped me to direct yeah. and to choreograph and to do all of the produce.
Well, stage manager, when you stage manage on Broadway, if you're a production stage manager on Broadway, that is a stepping stone to direction.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. But that's very a wonderful thing to say, and a lot of people don't get that. And if a stage manager is doing their job, they're invisible. That's why I think this idea of having awards for best stage management is crazy, unless they're voted on by and then how do you compare one to another? So to me, is if you know that the stage manager existed, they're probably not doing a very good job. But somebody I heard talking about that there should be a stage management category for the Tonys, and I want to, as an ex-stage manager myself, I would love the accolades, but no.
Right. Yeah. It's
what do you think, Adam Roberts?
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, stage management is so so variable depending on the context in which you're doing it. I mean, a stage manager in an arena situation versus in a rehearsal stage manager versus a production stage manager. It's just so, so different that it's part of the beauty of it is the individuality, I think.
Have you done it?
Have I done it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I have. Yeah. Never as a rehearsal stage manager, only as a production stage manager, and I have enjoyed it. It's certainly not the area, the corner of the field that most pulls me in, but I love to have a great one.
Yeah, it makes a world of difference.
World that's right. Of difference.
And people either can do it or they can't do it.
That's right.
So so that's cool. I had no idea you had a stage management background. Yeah. I should have known that because I met you right when I moved here and right after AMT closed through Stuart Moulton.
Yes, that's right.
And I had just assumed that that you were just directing and choreographing, I think, as well.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, I always have had a passion for educational theater. Always, always, always. It was life-changing for me and so many of my peers growing up. You just know when you're in that environment and those students obviously need what theater is doing for them. So I just had a huge passion for figuring out how I could help young people to find that and to build that.
Awesome. Have you ever lived outside of Texas? I know you have,
mm-hmm.
Adam.
I worked on a project in New York for 3 months. That is the longest I have lived outside of Texas.
Oh, my. And it's so, and I'm hopefully you'll take this as a compliment, but I assumed you did not grow up in Texas. And I mean that as a compliment. I know most Texans
will not agree
with me, but that's where I feel. And, of course, Austin is your favorite place you've ever lived, Adam. Well, of course. But what's your second favorite place?
I grew up in Ohio, but right outside the Pittsburgh area. And Pittsburgh, I got to experience the Renaissance of Pittsburgh from sort of the 80s flash dance steel mill era. When I was growing up there as a kid, into this amazing place that it has become for the arts, with a full blown cultural district, and right. You know, one of the maybe the only remaining, I don't know, resident musical theater company in the country, and just a really gorgeous, beautiful city. So I would have to say that area is my second favorite place to have lived in. And
cool. Well, we'll leave it with going back to television.
Yeah.
Because you made me think of Pittsburgh, the show Rise. Have either of you had time to see any of that?
No, but I'm dying to see it.
I know, same.
And actually, one of the schools is from the Valley that's on it from near McAllen.
What do you mean? One of the schools, because it's set in Pittsburgh or somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Back up. So part of that show is that they've supported other high school theaters financially, I think, through the show. And so they chose several.
The producers of the.
Yeah.
Of this. Oh, okay. I don't know. I should do some research on that.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen the actual show. Is it awesome?
I hate watch it.
Okay, got it.
There's some really good things about it. There's some really not so good things about it. Josh Radnor has taken universal criticism for his performance. But when they get into Spring Awakening and they're singing the songs, they sound lovely. Mm-hmm. and you get that music is just so wonderful. Yeah. And it's great to hear just little bits and pieces and snippets of Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
Cool. Speaking of that, if you listen really carefully right now, you can hear some Spring Awakening in the background. Can you hear it? Still, there's this one thing just to see you go by. There it is. It's there. Awesome.
Yeah,
well, thank you guys for joining us backstage.
So great to be here always.
Good to be here, Lisa. Thank you.
I am so looking forward to seeing the Greater Eisterhold Musical Theater Awards.
We are too.
I've missed the last 2 years. I haven't been able to go, and this year I'm able to go, so I'm excited.
Amazing.
And sold out. We can talk money now, but just sold out.
So because there are 38 because there are 38 schools that we start with 19, there are 38. So all the school groups alone take up such a huge amount of inventory that when we went on sale publicly, it sold the rest of the inventory sold out in 18 minutes.
Isn't
that crazy?
Which we
now
did
I
not.
Feel guilty about getting my 18 comps.
You're about to get a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
No, I just got one because nobody loves me. I go everywhere by myself. I know, isn't that sad? But that's awesome. And we're excited. I look forward to seeing it. Are you conducting?
Yep.
Adam?
Sure am.
And Dustin yep. Struhl, I didn't know he was. Is he in town? Working?
He is. He has been for the past several weeks.
Who knew? Is he going to work with us on Fun Home?
I hope so.
We should
so.
Announce that Adam is working with us on Fun mm-hmm. Home.
That's right.
And I will say this right now that we have earlier on the show, Ia and Stara is the Fun Home scenic designer.
I'm finding that out right now myself. That's
Natalie
amazing.
George is our lighting designer.
Awesome.
Patty Neff Tiven is going to be doing the costumes.
Uh-huh.
And I have a wonderful young stage manager, speaking of stage managers, named Kelsey Maringi, who stage managed White Rabbit, Red Rabbit for me. So
fantastic.
It's looking like it's going to be a great team and having everybody together. And
awesome.
Got to get Ginger involved.
When is
I know.
It?
December.
December.
Oh, God. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for being backstage.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you
and,
soon.
And keep listening to Spring Awakening, because it's something of purple summer. It's summer. Bye.